So often in life, we're more consumed about ourselves. And if we had to be honest, that's very much so the case. I want to read two passages that's also found in Philippians 2. Value others better than ourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then Philippians 2:21. For everyone looks after their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. So the reality is, in our life, we go through many experiences, some amazing, some terrible, some very painful. We have home life experiences, the way we brought up, the things we're exposed to when you're brought up. There's failures along the way. I can name you a number of them in my life, mistakes I've made. I'll own up for one that's always bothered me my whole life. We were doing the Rio race. We were sailing across the ocean to Rio. I had quite a bad gash on my leg, and it was a bit infected from the seawater. And in the middle of the night, our spinnaker needed, someone needed to go up the mast to attach the spinnaker to the mast. Otherwise, it breaks under the stress and the strain. And I was hoping this one young guy would go up, but he didn't want to. So I volunteered to go up there, and I went up and I attached the spinnaker to the mast so it's not directly from the rope. And I put a shackle on, and I didn't have a cable tie to lock the shackle in because it can slowly undo itself. And I came down and I thought, shall I go up there and attach it? I was in a bit of pain. It was the middle of the night, and I thought, no, I'll leave it. Well, 24 hours later, we were tie first in this race. The shackle broke or unwound itself, and a spinnaker fell when we rode over the spinnaker and we tore it along all the edges, and we had to sew for 30 hours in the boat getting the spinnaker fixed. And I didn't own up, and I know the skipper or the owner of the boat knew that I hadn't put that thing on. And you think, if I had just taken the time just to go once more and put that on, we may well have won the race. But God uses our failures. We go through crises in our life as well, many crises. We have personal struggles. We go through rejection. We go through success and through hardship. Sometimes we come through success. But the key is this, is that God is using it all to prepare us. So going back to Zelani's scripture, that God uses everything and turns it to good. He doesn't squander people's time, and he is in the business of turning everything to good. The question is, how do we respond to those things? A number of years ago, I went through quite a crisis in ministry, relational issues with our team that almost made me give up ministry. And I hung in there for 2 years in the pain of this, what was taking place. And eventually, God restored everything back to what I feel God should have restored it to. And I realized something, that when things aren't going right, and things aren't working the way you want to, it's so easy to go into bitterness, unforgiveness, and all those other things. But when you choose in the midst of what you're facing in life to say, I'm going to keep my heart right before God, God is able to do a great work in you that prepares you for ultimately what he goes through. I'm actually reading a book called, it's by the Blackaby Brothers, Spiritual Leadership. I don't know if you know the Blackaby Brothers. They're well known for their leadership books around spiritual. And they use examples of people in their life. And there's one man in particular, Winston Churchill, who's known as the bulldog, the man who resiliently stood. Yes, he had flaws. Yes, he made mistakes. But he was a voice in the Second World War. His home life was terrible. His parents practically rejected him. He tried so many times to get into politics and failed and failed and failed. He had crisis after crisis, bankruptcy, rejected. But was not God preparing him to stand against great opposition and say, never surrender? What are you going through right now that God is preparing you? And how we respond to it makes us stronger. I want to encourage young people here. Find some of the, I dare to say, the older folk, and go to them and say, tell me your journey in life. I once sat down with my father and asked him, tell me about your struggles. I was amazed. My whole perception of my father changed in a moment. I remember once thinking as a young guy that, just being vulnerable here, We had lemon curd sandwiches at school. We had jam sandwiches every day, either lemon curd or peanut butter. My friends were having cheese and all these fancy lunch boxes. And I remember thinking, and I know my kids go through this as well, why can't we have more money and all of these things? I remember as a man about 40 years old sitting with my dad, and my dad said to me, do you know, I was offered the highest job with the greatest salary ever. And I turned it down, and I said, why? Because I wanted to be with my kids when they grow up. Do you know my whole perception of my dad changed in that moment? And you suddenly realize sacrifices that were made, that only when you have children do you get to understand it. But when we get to see the journey, when you get to see the process, that we understand that God is doing a great work in people's lives and is preparing them for great things. There's so many people in Scripture we can look at and see, wow, they went through hardships. Could I have handled what they handled? My kid comes home and tells me a story of how he's been rejected at school. My natural response could be helping him out of those situations, or is God preparing him? Because when you get in the way of God, and all we can do is submit it to God. And now my son comes to me and says, Dad, you know what? I've now become the mediator between my friends. Whenever I have a problem, they come to me, and I've got to mediate between them all. But I think it takes understanding rejection to understand mediation. We start to get a heart for people who are rejected, because you know what rejection feels like. But there's one difference between spiritual leadership and natural leadership, is that's of the Holy Spirit. When God gives you His Holy Spirit, everything changes. Oswald Saunders, he's a general director of the China Inland Mission. He was an elder statesman. He also was the author of about 40 books. He said there's no such thing as a self-made spiritual leader. You may be a self-made businessman or a self-made leader of a political party, whatever, but there's no such thing as a self-made spiritual leader. Because spiritual leaders go through a different journey, and you and I are on a different journey to everyone else. There's one man in the Bible who's a complete mystery, and I want to quickly just touch on him. His name's Samson. Are you familiar with the story of Samson? Everything he seemed to do was his own personal agenda, but God was in it. If you look at Samson, just a few things about him. First of all, when he was born, it was foretold by an angel that he was born to begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistine. We see that in Judges 13:5. At the time, Israel were being suppressed by the Philistines. And a son is born, an angel comes and says, your son will be used to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Let's look at the things that Samson did. He killed a lion with his bare hands. I remember my first time seeing a lion. I was in a game truck, and I was seated right at the side of the truck, and this lion came walking, and it came walking straight past me. But when he was where David was, I looked away. Don't make eye contact. He just looked ferocious. I suddenly had this fear. I can't imagine jumping out of the car and saying, I'm going to rip you apart with my bare hands. I sat like this. My eyes were straight forward. And only when he walked past, I looked back at him. But he tore a lion with his bare hands. He slaughtered 30 Philistines for their clothes. You remember the story? He took 300 foxes, tied their tails together, put a lamp. What's that? And set them out in the Philistines' fields to burn the grain. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, you think that jawbone would be in the Smithsonian Museum right now, wouldn't you? What did he do with it? He just chucked it away. If that was me, I would have hung it on my wall, engraved it. I don't know what I would have done with it. But for Samson, he knew the power wasn't in the jawbone. It was the Spirit of God inside him. And he knew that the next tactic wouldn't be the jawbone, it would be something else. And then we understand as well that he carried the gates of Gaza. He couldn't get out of the city, so he just took the whole gate and the gateposts, and he walked off and took them some distance and then dumped them. And then lastly, we know he destroyed the temple of Dagon when he pushed the pillars aside, and he killed more people that day than his entire life. and he killed the Philistine rulers. But there was one thing about him, is that whenever he aligned himself to God's mission on his life, which was to destroy the Philistines, the Holy Spirit came on him powerfully. Was his motives right? Often it was because of betrayal or things like that, or through deceit. But whenever he aligned himself with God's agenda, the Spirit came on him powerfully, and he could do what he did. We look like a man like Moses. He had a sense of call. He was no ordinary child. We know that. He was equipped in all the ways of Egypt. He was wise. He was powerful in speech, powerful in action. But something happened to him, didn't it? God had to prepare him for 40 years. He had to get all of Egypt out of him. 40 years he was in Egypt, 40 years to get Egypt out of him. In Numbers 12:13, it says here that he was more humble than anyone on the face of the earth. Now there's a spiritual leader, humility. So we see all of his failures, all of his pains, all of his rejection, all of that culminated to him being the man that he was on the day that God called him. Then we look at a man, can't really call him a man, but he was a fully human, fully God at the same time, Jesus. And what do we know about him and his preparation? We know very little, but there is one attribute, and I'm sure you know what it is. At the age of 12, he went to the temple courts and he was left behind for 3 days and he started preaching the greatest sermons man has ever seen. He could have become a child prodigy. He could have become great at the age of 12. But he chose what? To go with his parents and be obedient to them. For 18 years, he chose obedience over success. And in that, it says that he grew with stature, favor, both with God and with man. And ultimately what happened? He became too obedient to his heavenly Father and did what he did today. And he's still busy changing lives today. So we see how God is at work in us to prepare us, to change us, to move us. So everything you're facing right now can be seen as preparation. I do believe that preparation goes even beyond here. It goes into heaven. And we know that. We see scripture. If you're faithful with this, you'll be in charge of those cities in heaven. And it's hard to fathom from this side. I don't know if you've heard the analogy. I was sharing it the other day. An analogy of two babies in the mother's womb trying to describe what it's like out there in the world. And the one baby says to the other, "Do you know we're going to breathe through our lungs? And we're going to eat food through our mouths. And you see these little things down here, we're going to walk on them." And the other child's going, "I can't imagine that. It's far beyond my imagination." And that's what I believe it's like in heaven. I want to encourage you today that everything you're going through in life is preparing you for what God ultimately wants to do. In fact, if you look at scripture as we look in the Acts around Athens, God says he knows the exact time for you and the exact places where you'll live. He did this so that you'll go and reach out to him and find him. So I want to encourage you today, no matter what you're facing right now, God is at work in your life. How we respond is key. Then we look at a man, Joseph. Betrayal, rejected. Maybe he was arrogant. Maybe just knew his calling strong, but he got rejected by his brother, sold into slavery. We know the story, falsely accused. But the light came on when he realized that God was just preparing him, that one day he would save a nation and save his people. I want to ask you today if you can step out of your comfort zone. I want to ask if you can break into groups, and can I ask couples to split up, if that's all right? I'd like you to think about some of the things that you went through in your life. Maybe you just want to share the good. Maybe you want to be vulnerable and share something. How God has used it to shape you to what you are now. You're looking at me terrified right now. Can I ask you to do that? But I want to ask you, before you do that, I just want to pray. I want to open up the door now for you to think of how God has been at work in your life, preparing you for where you are now. Or perhaps God was already doing a work and he's done the work and you've seen the outworking of it. I know for me, I had to go and see the world to realize that nothing could fill me up. I had to come up to a place where I experienced the much, the extravagance, the wealth, and realize that was all empty. To a point that I had to cry out, God, I want you to come in my life. I had to go around the mountain a few times. But in that, I got to experience God. I'd like to just close and pray now and then open it up to you to break into small groups, please, and spend some time just sharing, being open and honest with one another in this regard. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're at work in our lives, that you're going to act in a good way for a good purpose, Father, that even the painful things that we've experienced in life, you will turn to good. And Father, I pray that everyone here, that our hearts will be open, our hearts will be soft to you, Lord. And whatever we experience, Lord, that we will not allow bitterness to take root. An orphan spirit to take root, Lord. We are your children. You love us. And as we've heard, that you're turning our lives to good for your good purpose. So, Father, I pray that as we just quickly break into groups now and have a bit of fellowship and a bit of openness, Father, I just pray that we'll be able to be vulnerable with one another, open with one another, and then in that, in the sense the veil will be lifted and we'll be able to see your hand at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I ask you to grab two or three people you don't know, and let's have a quick time together. And when you feel time's up and you're ready, please help yourself to some coffee and some fellowship. Thank you all. Yeah.